morning, church. We're going to dive into worship together. You can find your way to your seats. Everybody stand and let's sing.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power in love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
To see you high.
To see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power in love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. See you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power in love as we sing, holy, holy.
Redeemer Bible Church. Thank you for joining us, whether in person or online. This week we have a few short announcements. If you don't have a physical bulletin, please be sure to go to the Welcome Center and pick one up after the service. This week I am happy to announce that for the month of May, African Fellowship Church will be in the Oasis from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. worshiping. Maybe you saw some new cars. If after the service or maybe before the service next week, you happen to see some folks maybe you don't recognize, please be sure to greet them warmly and tell them that we are glad that they are here with us. In addition, each week before the service at 9:30 a.m., Alan Sandlin is teaching a class called Grow Hour. It's a study in the book of James in room 202. Just a heads up, next week this group will not be meeting, but it'll pick up the next week. So if you're not currently a part of that group, please be sure to join in 2 weeks. In addition, please mark on your calendars. On June 22nd, we'll be having our annual business meeting here at the church following this service. So if you're currently a member of the church, please be sure to be there as we discuss some important issues in the church. In addition, Good News community groups are still being formed, so if you're not currently a part of a group, please be sure to see Pastor Forrest or check the Church Center app if you'd like to be a part of one of those groups. Finally, on the backside of your bulletins, you can find a few different ways to give to help support the ministries of this church. We encourage you to give as the Lord leads you with a joyful heart. Thank you, church.
You are, it's you.
Shift our focus towards the scripture for a moment. Today we're going to be reading from Romans chapter 8, verses 37 and 39. This says, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing
shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you believe that, just shout an amen real fast. Amen.
Go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you do have everything controlled. You are above all things, past, present, and future. Lord, that you go before us, making a path for us. That you have gone before us and you are making a place for us. And Lord, everywhere in between, that you are with us through every step of every moment of every day. God, I pray that we would get that into our minds and into our hearts, and we would realize just how much you love us, that you are intimate God, that you are a God that wants a relationship with us. Jesus, that you want to be here holding our hand, walking us through all of our trials. You want to be here and celebrating with us, celebrating with the angels for triumphs. God, and on the mountaintops and through the valleys, that we would acknowledge that you are good and you alone are good. Lord, there is nothing that we can do with these hands, with our mouths, with these bodies outside of you that is going to be good. I pray that we would surrender to you even more this morning, and that you would teach us what we need to know, that you would correct us where we are wrong, and that our hearts would be open to receive everything that you have for us this morning, Jesus.
In your name, Christ, I pray. Amen. Well, church, as we transition from our time of musical worship, would you please turn to your neighbor, greet them warmly, and ask this question. What was King Solomon known for?
So in a couple of weeks, I'm going to go to Hungary. I want you to get the geography here a little bit. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to fly from the United States, jump on a plane, and I'm going to travel to Hungary to the Word of Life Bible Institute, and I'm going to tell all these kids my wisdom. So that's what's going to happen. Now, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a really fun trip, but I want you to see the difference between what I'm doing and what was happening in Solomon's day. See, in Solomon's day, all of the different countries that were surrounding Israel looked at Solomon and his wisdom and said, whoa, this guy is really, really wise. So what they did, they didn't fly, but they would travel from their country to see Solomon. And I want you to get a bit of a distance between those two dynamics. What I'm doing is I'm flying from my country to try to convince a bunch of 20-somethings that I'm wise. But what these guys were doing is they already knew that Solomon was wise, and they were willing to make the journey. And not only did their journey take, you know, several weeks, depending upon where they were, several months, maybe even a month, their journey, but while they went and when they got there, they didn't just sit and listen to Solomon, they also had to bring him gifts. So on their travels, they were bringing goods from their country, gold or silver or precious gems or whatever it was, to give this gift. And the image that's created here is that Solomon was so incredibly wise that people would come from all around the area just to hear him speak. And they wouldn't just come, they would come with gifts. Many loaded down with lots of gifts. And that is wisdom. The wisdom of Solomon was so high. It was so well known that people were willing to do this. And what they were doing, these emissaries were doing, is they were taking these gifts to Solomon, giving it to him, listening to Solomon as long as they could, and they would take that wisdom back to their people and teach it. That wisdom of Solomon was so incredibly valuable. Unfortunately, we live in a culture that doesn't value wisdom. I can't remember the last time I heard of someone wanting to go somewhere and sit and hear someone wise talk. Maybe you've heard people. I haven't. As a matter of fact, most people in our culture would rather sit down and watch, either on YouTube or social media, would rather watch silly people do silly things. That's kind of way our culture is situated. We want to be entertained by the absurd. But the idea of sitting down and listening to wisdom doesn't sound terribly attractive to people. And on top of that, some people, if given the opportunity, they love the chance to hear themselves talk. They want people to listen to what they have to say. And so as a culture, wisdom is not valued. Wisdom is not prized. Wisdom is not an asset that people are thinking, man, I got to figure out how to get wisdom. People, they just don't think about it. That's not the way our culture is functioning. Nevertheless, just because the culture sees wisdom that way doesn't mean that we should or have to. See, wisdom is an incredible asset. It's a valuable thing. And what I want to do this morning is I want to try to help us begin to see that biblical wisdom is something that has an enormous value. But I understand what I'm fighting against is our culture, our cultural orientation, that wisdom is not a big deal. And I understand that I'm fighting against a perception that wisdom is something that is maybe a great thing or whatever, but it's not something priceless. It's not super valuable. It's not something that's off the charts good. It's just something that's out there. And unfortunately, what happens for us many times is we come to the place in our lives where we look at the idea and you say, hey, it'd be a great idea to have wisdom. You know, it'd probably help me make a little better decisions going forward, but it's not that big of a deal. Wisdom is not all that critical. That's our perception sometimes about wisdom. But when we look at wisdom, and as we look at the way that the Bible talks about wisdom, we come away realizing wisdom is a whole different orientation. It's completely talked about differently. Wisdom is not something that's just something good to throw in your lunchbox. Wisdom is something that is absolutely priceless. It is of extreme value. And this morning, what I want us to do is I want to try to help us to kind of jerk ourselves out of our perception about wisdom and being valuable, or it's a good thing, great, or whatever, to understand just how the Bible sees, how the Bible is written, how the Holy Spirit communicated through Solomon the value of wisdom. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Proverbs. We're continuing our series in the book of Proverbs. And this morning we're going to be in chapter 4. And in Proverbs chapter 4, we read a section where King Solomon, under the authority of the Holy Spirit, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing to his sons. And he's telling them, hey guys, this is what my dad, David, taught me. And so he's relaying this generational wisdom. And the boys that he's speaking to, his sons, are very likely men, young men, who are training to become a king or to be somebody in the royal court. They had these, it's very likely the way that things were done at this time. This was a training manual. These were training manuals for these guys. And they were learning about what it would be like to lead a country, to be in a political position and lead. And so what Solomon does here is he wants to say, hey, I want you to understand the value of wisdom. Wisdom is not something incidental. It's not something that's just fun to have. Wisdom is critical. It's super important. And so he communicates that through this. So we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 4, starting at verse 7, and we're going all the way to verse 9. And what we're going to learn this morning is that wisdom is first of all priceless. Now when you hear the concept of priceless, it's a little bit fuzzy to us, but if you understand it in terms of what it's actually saying, it's saying that wisdom is so valuable you can't put a price on it. But second of all, we're going to see that wisdom is praiseworthy. Wisdom is something that if a person lives by wisdom, they are living a life that's worthy of other people praising them for that life. Now, that's a concept that sometimes we feel weird about. It's a weird concept to think about someone doing something that's praiseworthy. We think only God should do things that are praiseworthy. But the reality is that a life well lived according to wisdom is a life that other people can look at and say, wow, that is the right way to live life. That person has really got it figured out. So life, wisdom is praiseworthy. And the last thing is, wisdom is prestigious. There is an element, there is an aspect about living according to wisdom that earns that person a level of prestige. And we'll talk about what that means here in just a little bit. But wisdom is, first of all, priceless. Wisdom is priceless. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. And it says, the beginning of wisdom is Now, the word that's translated the beginning there, some of your translations may not use the word the beginning, and the idea behind the beginning is it's the first fruits. It's the valuable part. It's not a temporal indicator. It's an indicator of value and worth. So the mind says the beginning, but it's saying the value. It's really talking about value, or the worth of wisdom is this. Acquire wisdom. It's a command. And like we talked about last week, the obtaining of wisdom is something that requires some work. It's not something where you walk down the road and the wind blows wisdom into your head and you just have it. It's not how wisdom comes to a person. Wisdom requires a level of work. There's an effort that has to be put into it. And so this is the beginning. This is the primary thing. This is the value of wisdom. Acquire wisdom. And the end of verse 7 says this: and with all of your possessions, acquire understanding. Now, in order to understand what's being communicated here, we need to take a little bit of a break and get some idea of what's going on in Proverbs. Proverbs are not written with the intention of being a command. Proverbs are not commands. Proverbs are poetic statements that are written to communicate a truth, a life truth. And so what Solomon is communicating here is not, he's not telling his sons, go out and sell all of your possessions and go to Walmart and buy understanding. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, in the event that you had the opportunity to sell all of your possessions, all of your cars, all of your watches, all of your houses, all of your IRA accounts, or whatever, however they accumulated money at that time, if you could sell all of that and you could buy wisdom, that would be a good deal, because wisdom is more valuable than all your possessions. That's the proverb, that's the lesson that's being communicated here, is that if you had the opportunity and you could sell all your possessions and buy understanding, that would be a good deal, because wisdom, understanding, is priceless. You can't put a value on wisdom. You can't put a value on understanding. There's no checkbook amount that you could write. There's no deed that you could hand over to somebody that would give you enough value that you could buy it. It's priceless. It exceeds what could be paid for it. And the message here is trying to communicate to, from Solomon to his sons, from David to Solomon and to his sons. Listen, guys, wisdom is priceless. It is that valuable. Now, every year at about, I think it's the 3rd or the 4th, July 3rd or the 4th, there is an event that happens in Brooklyn called the hot dog eating contest. Nathan's puts it on, and what they do is they get some contestants, and they just try to eat as many hot dogs as they can. Now, I personally have no interest in this event. None. I personally don't care for hot dogs. I mean, I'll eat them if that's the only thing in the house. I'm not, like, opposed to them. But hot dogs do nothing for me. So sitting down and watching somebody stuff their face with hot dogs has no attraction to me. If I'm sitting at the Statue of Liberty in New York and somebody's like, oh, so-and-so is going to Nathan's and they're about ready to break this big record, I wouldn't stop doing what I'm doing. I have no desire to be a part of Nathan's. I looked it up. I guess the world record is 76 in 10 minutes or whatever it is. I would have no desire to do that, because that is not valuable to me. And the same concept is true here with wisdom. Even though we might say the words that wisdom is valuable, oh yeah, Pastor Forrest, wisdom is valuable, oh yeah, it's a good thing, but if we don't really truly place value on it, we're not going to do things differently because of it. We're just not. And even though we might say that it's valuable, we're not going to change our lives and do things differently, because wisdom is not valuable. And Solomon is trying to communicate here, guys, wisdom is priceless. That's how much value there is to wisdom. Now this morning what I want to do, and I'm going to ask you a question, I'm going to pose a question to you, and it may seem like a little bit of a guilt-inducing question, and that's not my intent at all. But last week, if you were here, I challenged you this past week to memorize a proverb, okay? Now, I know some of you did because I've talked to some of you personally, and so you're saying, okay, learning a proverb, there's value there, there's worth there, but I imagine that there are some of you here who didn't do that. And like I said, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. That's not the point. The point is look at yourself and say, do I really value wisdom? You had a charge last week to memorize a proverb, and you didn't. Why? Just ask yourself, why didn't you? Is the reason because you don't truly see wisdom as that valuable? It's not to make you feel guilty, just something for you to think about in your head. Is wisdom a valuable thing to me? Because what Solomon is trying to communicate here in verse 7 is that wisdom is priceless. And oftentimes, it's easy for us to fall into a way of thinking, like our culture, that wisdom is a great thing to have. That's great. But it's not critical. And that's not how Solomon would communicate it here. So the first thing that we see, what is the value of wisdom? Wisdom is priceless. The second thing is that wisdom is praiseworthy. A person who lives their life according to the principles of biblical wisdom, that life is worth praising. Look with me at verse 8. And he says this, prize her. Speaking, it's a personification of wisdom. So it says, prize her, esteem her, elevate her, speaking of wisdom, and she will exalt you. She will lift you up. And what's going on here, both of these two verbs are not the same verb. They're different verbs, but they're referring to the same action. And what's being communicated here is that if you personally lift up wisdom, if you personally say wisdom is valuable, wisdom is something worth having, we change the value of wisdom, if we do that, then this is what wisdom will do for you. If you become a person who lives by wisdom, wisdom will lift you up in the eyes of people. And it's kind of a poetic thing. You lift up wisdom, wisdom will lift you up. And the idea is if you live by wisdom, if you walk in the things that wisdom tells you to walk in, as you live that life, what is going to happen to you is that your life is going to be something that is lifted up. People will look at your life and say, wow, that person is living a life worthy of emulating. They're living a praiseworthy life. So the challenge for us then becomes to be a person who lifts up and values wisdom in our lives. And that's what Solomon was trying to get his sons to understand. You got to understand that regardless of what you're thinking about wisdom now, this is how you need to see wisdom. Wisdom is something that if you live according to it, it will become a life worthy of following. It is will become a life worthy of praise by other people. Let me give you another way to think about this. Several years ago, probably 10 or 20 years ago, I had a stack of note cards that I made up, and on these note cards were verses that I had memorized. And I had a pretty big stack. It was a big enough stack that I needed two rubber bands to hold it together. And for me, it was encouraging whenever I saw that stack sitting on my Bible or on my nightstand or wherever it was, whenever I saw that, it wasn't a pride thing. It was like, man, that's an accomplishment. All of those verses are verses that I have committed to memory. And so it gave me like motivation to really want to study those verses because that's a pretty big stack. Well, then came along this digital flashcard thing. And so what I could do is I could put all those flashcards in my phone. And so I thought, well, this is great. Then I could take them with me when I go to the store or whatever. I can study them anywhere. And so what I did is I moved all of those flashcards to my phone. But the problem is what I didn't anticipate happening, but what happened is I was lower, my motivation changed. And I was no longer motivated to learn.
And part of it had to do with the fact that that stack of verses no longer attracted me to study. Now my stack was in my phone, the same phone that I did for everything else. And so our motivation behind why, I was studying was contributed to, was fed by my desire to have something that I was achieving. And that's what Solomon is trying to communicate to his boys. He says, listen, guys, now their context is different than ours. But he says, listen, guys, if you live a life that is wise, the end result is other people will look at you and they will say, that's the right lifestyle to live. And they will get praise for that. And that's the idea. Is he's trying to encourage his sons to say, hey, what you guys really want is you want people to look at you and admire you. The way to do that is through wisdom. That's something that wisdom does. So what is the value of wisdom? The first value of wisdom, it's priceless. We can't put a financial figure on wisdom. Second of all, wisdom is praiseworthy. It is something that if you act in a wise way, people will look at your life and say, that is a life worth living. And the last thing we see is that wisdom is prestigious. Look with me at verse 9. It says this, she will place on your head a garland of grace. She is a reference here to wisdom again, personified again. She, assuming that you embrace her, assuming that you embrace wisdom, she will place on your head a garland of grace. We don't exactly know for sure what the referent here is. There's a couple of suggestions of what the referent is, but we know it's something good. There's something about this garland of grace that people will look at and they'll say, ah, that is something that I want to have, that is something worth having, this garland of grace. And then the last part of the verse says this, she, wisdom again, will present you with a crown of beauty. Now think, if you are these sons who are in training to be a future leader in a country, and you hear your dad telling you that if you are a wise person, if you follow these wise commands, it will achieve for you, putting a beautiful crown on your head or a garland of grace. And what these guys were hearing is that wisdom is the path to becoming considered by people to be prestigious, to be someone who is considered worthy of a life following. Wisdom is something that adds value to the person's function in life. It's not something that is just information it's good to throw in our lunchbox. It's something that earns for the person who is displaying the wisdom a sense of prestige. You may have heard someone say this before, or you maybe ever have said it in your own life, where someone says, a wise man once said, and then they fill in the blank with something they've said. Now, what they're doing there is saying something more than just what the wise man said. What they're saying about themselves is, I heard this wise man say this to me, and I'm getting his credibility by referring it to you. A wise man once said, indicating that the person who said it heard that wisdom saying from the wise man and is relaying it on. And what that does, that little phrase there, imparts to the person a sense of prestige. You must have been in the presence of the wise person at one point to hear this. You must have been considered worthy for some reason of the wise person telling you this. So you have some value, you have some worth. And that's the same thing what Solomon is trying to communicate here. If you choose to follow the path of wisdom, what will result is the life you live is a life that's prestigious. People will look at you and say, that is a wise man. That is a wise woman. And saying that will be a compliment. It will not be a derogatory thing in any way, shape, or form. And the challenge then becomes for us to begin to think about, how do we see wisdom? Do we see wisdom as something that is priceless? Do we see wisdom as something that has a praiseworthy aspect to it? Do we see wisdom as something that is prestigious? Or have we fallen into the trap of allowing wisdom to seem to be something that is not valuable? What I did last night is I sat down and I wrote out five proverbs. And last week I suggested that you memorize. I said, hey, this would be a good challenge for you. You memorize Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And what I did is I entered four other proverbs here. Four other proverbs for you to memorize. And it's just giving you a list of some proverbs that would be good for you to memorize. And so my challenge for you this morning is this, is I want to challenge you to get one of these and look up these five proverbs and start working on the first one, memorize that, and then go to the next one and memorize that one, and then keep going all the way down until you've memorized all of these proverbs. And the whole point of that exercise is to begin to say, no, wisdom is valuable. I want to bring wisdom into my life, and I'm willing to do what it takes to make that happen. Another story from the life of Solomon that's a very popular story about him was that after Solomon had been worshiping God, he had a wonderful experience worshiping God, and that night when he went to sleep, the Lord came to him in a dream, and the Lord said to him, "Ask for anything you wish." Ask for anything. Blank check from God. And as Solomon thought about it, what he requested from God, he says, I want understanding to be able to lead this people of yours, to be able to judge between right and wrong. And what Solomon did was asking for wisdom. He could have asked for riches. He could have asked for honor, but instead he asked for wisdom. The next day, the Lord responded, and the Lord said to him, you have asked for wisdom, but I'm going to give you riches and honor as well. And so some people, when they hear that story, they get kind of a weird understanding of what the application is. But what God is saying here is that the most valuable thing, if you've got three options, to be honored by men, to have abundant wealth, or to have wisdom, the most valuable thing for you to get is wisdom. And because you, Solomon, asked for the wise thing, I'm going to give you these two other things as well. That is the application for our time today is not, don't hear this, the application is not, if you pursue wisdom, then God promises to give you money and honor. That's not the application. The application is the most important thing for us between those three to look for is wisdom. Wisdom is the thing that is so valuable, it's considered priceless. Wisdom is the thing that if you conduct your life according to wisdom, you will be living a life where other people will look at it and say, that is a life worth following. And wisdom is the thing, if you live your life according to word, to what biblical wisdom tells, how it tells you to live, you will be living a prestigious life. There is a life, there is an exaltation that comes from living a life of wisdom. So my challenge for you this morning is this, is that I want to challenge you over the next week, if you haven't already, start memorizing those proverbs. If you need some suggestions, I've got some here for you. I'll be happy to give those to you after the service. And there are five proverbs that will help you begin to integrate into your mind the value of wisdom. And I challenge you over this next week to learn those five verses, commit them to memory, and include them as a part of your life. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we do just thank you for this morning and thank you for the opportunity to come into this place. Thank you for the opportunity to be surrounded by other men and women who are on this journey with you. Lord, I pray that you would bring to our mind and you would bring to our attention the value of wisdom. Help us not to leave here today as people who look at wisdom and say, that's a nice thing to have on my shelf. It's a nice thing to consider on the way home from church. But help us to move our minds into a place where we understand the incredible value and the incredible worth of wisdom. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us this week in any way that we need to be able to express that and act on that this week, so that by next week, we come back a little wiser than this week. We love you and we pray all this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.
At this time, we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper together. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ and you've been baptized, we welcome you to join us this morning. If you didn't happen to grab a cup on the way in, please raise your hand and we'll make sure that we get one to you. Well, this morning, Pastor Forrest's sermon was on the importance of gaining wisdom and how infinitely valuable that is. And just backing up to Proverbs 3, there's a verse that says that wisdom is a tree of life to those who take hold of it. And I guess if we back up to the Garden of Eden, the tree of life, and then it shows up in Revelation as well, and Jesus says, I will give to those who overcome, which means believers, access to eat from the tree of life. And when we come to communion, you know, there's a wide range of aspects. And today I want to look at the connection between communion and resurrection, how we look to the resurrection of Christ, and that is the certainty that we can have that we will be resurrected as well. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, it says in verse 3, "For I received what I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, we might pause and just think a little bit facetiously, okay, so he was raised, well, and my sins were forgiven, but I'm still going to die. I'm still facing death, as we all do. And so, you know, so what if Christ was raised? Well, we have to keep reading to the end of the chapter, because not only is Christ raised, but in the end, by verse 54, it will say the perishable will be clothed with the imperishable. The mortal will put on the immortal. And then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? And so in communion, we rightly celebrate that the Lord forgives us of our sins because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. But we also need to connect forgiveness of sins to resurrection. Because what good is it to have forgiven sins if you're just going to die? So we must connect it to the resurrection life, to this infinite value. You know, like, there's nothing more valuable than having eternal life. And so as we come to the cup together, it also says in to the bread in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took some bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Well, if after the service anyone has any questions or would like to talk to someone or have someone pray with you, I'll be here at the front. Pastor Forrest will as well. If you would like that, please come and find us, and we would be delighted to meet with you. If you would, please stand for the benediction. This benediction is from 1 Peter chapter 5, and it says this: "May the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, may he himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen." God bless you. Have a great week. We're dismissed.